Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're talking about a lot of things happening. Of course, what we want to do is give a light perspective to God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know what to do with the news you know, but it's not enough to know the news, but you need to know what to do with the news that you know. And we're just data gatherers now. It's like, how do I store my data?
Yeah.
I need a bigger data place. It used to be stuff, and now it's just data. And it's like, that's useless unless you can hire ohmygov.com to mine it. You know what I'm saying? It's useless data.
And they are fine.
Yeah, they actually, but it was just kind of a pun there. And so the thing is it's not how much you gather. It's, do you know what you're hearing? Does it make sense to you? Because there's a rhythm to what you hear. There's a rhythm to what spirit it is of. And so what we tried to do, and you say you've been hearing, what you've been hearing as is what we've been sharing with you is kind of giving you a light perspective of that. And nothing has changed. It's always been the same. It's a battle between light and dark. The question is, are we going to be the light of the world? And if you look at what always coincides with a move of God, even the birthing of the church, that parallel to the church birthing and happening at the very same time, is always some ruthless ruler, some crazy government situation going on, some wild, rebellious sexual revolution and the quote hippie movement, Woodstock. And at the same time that was going on, you had this outpouring of, in the 60s, where just a major move of God happened, and people were getting, out of all of that, people were getting saved out of that. And the thing is that it takes that to break up the soil. Just because, you know, if a society's been doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, if we've been doing stuff we shouldn't be doing, then we're totally convinced, that, and we continue to do it, then we're like locked into that thing, we're bound by that thing, and we really believe at some point we're deceived in thinking that it doesn't matter anymore. And so you have all these, it doesn't matter anymore in a society. So what God will do, and if you didn't get it, you can get it, you know, is America under God's judgment, that he'll turn us over to it. And when we get turned over to it, people go, that's horrific. And it's like, well, no, what was happening quietly out of men's eyes, but in my eyes, now is happening before everybody's eyes. Does that make sense? You know, you were smoking crack in the back, and now you just happen to be smoking it at the pulpit. You know what I'm saying? It's like nothing new. People are like, this is crazy. It's like, no, God's just giving us over to those things. And so, but in that, what happens is that mankind gets scattered because of the consequences that happens to our life and bad governments and you know, our body suffers greatly because of it, which humbles us like the prodigals. And when we may come to our senses. We may say, "What? I walked out every form of ignorant wisdom I had, that I judged other people for not walking out my wisdom, and I found out the end of every one of my roads was hell. It was terrible.
Right.
And it ended with death, destruction, mayhem, and I just wanted to end my life." And then they go, so then I turn back to God's wisdom. I turn back to God, and God says, here I am. I was there all along. And at that point, so they wouldn't receive God when they were locked up and hard-hearted and stiff-necked and convinced that what was happening in the back room didn't matter. It didn't matter. As long as you did what was right in the front room, everything was all right. And the thing about it, it's not true. That's not true. I mean, nobody's perfect, but the context of it, if you believe that if men don't see it, then it's all right, then you totally missed it. The thing is, if we sin immediately, no matter who sees it or doesn't see it, and it is a major incident if it's done in front of the body of Christ, that you just got to repent and ask God to forgive you, you know, that it's not okay, and then thank God for his forgiveness, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for his forgiveness. And so what we're seeing now, we're seeing a nation just turned over, we're getting turned over to our stuff. And if God wouldn't have saved me, I'd be in the middle of it. I'd be in the middle of it. I'd be 100% in the middle of it, because he pulled me out. He saved me. He called my name. And he loves me, and he loves you if you're listening. He loves the folks that are out there. He wants no man's life to end without knowing him as their Lord and Savior. He's willing for you to lose everything everything and take you, pieces of you, into eternity with him.
That's right.
And so, but with that has to come the end. He just gives you over to all your false gods and all your things that you worship and all your stuff. And it's a scary thing to be turned over to yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's a scary thing for God just to let you go. You know what I'm saying? And just all kinds of things can happen. Yeah. And it's better to fall into the hands of God, as David said. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you that when it gets like that, when it gets like the Great Depression, that's when you start seeing things like Oral Roberts, and you start seeing the Reverend Billy Graham's, and you start seeing, you know, everybody's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Well, we don't have no power. The power just got turned off, and mm-hmm. we're living with 15 people in our household. Is there something going on in that big tent up the street? Yeah, I hear Oral Roberts is there. And so, you know, God has a way of getting our attention.
Yes, he does. Right.
And they stay the whole meeting. It's like, I'm not going to go by it right now. And so you can, if you just look at history and don't give in to the darkness and realize, you know what, I'm going to, and this is the question I believe that Corrie Ten Boom was asked, but I'm not sure if it was her, but it's something she would say. You know, what do you do? What do you do when it gets dark? What do you do when evil folks just begin to take over? And because you feel like there's something more I need to be doing. And if you're the American church, you probably do. But I'm talking about folks that are being all they can be, doing all they can do. They're maxing out the talents that God's given them. I mean, Corey was doing that.
Corey, For God.
Yes. Mm. Thank you. These are so important. Yeah, right. These are very important. And then this is what she said, because this time she was actually hiding Jews in her place to be able to keep them from being killed.
Yeah.
And knowing that she's suffering greatly because of it and being in prison. And this is all she said. Or the person that said this that was doing the same thing as Corrie. She said, just continue to be the light. Mm. I mean, how much more can you be other than just be who God's called you to be? Just be. Just be. It's like my tailgate conversations with Steve, right? It's like, just be, right? Oranges, apples, oatmeal, and all that stuff. All
right.
And we underestimate the power of just being. John Paul Jackson, who prophesied about the coming storm, and you can actually get to it on VFNTV.com. Just scroll down, look at the banner on there, and go to it. And a lot of it's come to pass. This storm is horrific. Storm, biggest storm in the history, typhoon in the history of the world, supposedly. They hit the Philippines after a couple more storms hit them again. An earthquake came before that. Yeah. This is what's been prophesied about. Mm-hmm. And they're just increasing. He talked about all this. Mm-hmm. And so the question was, you know, what do you do? You know, and we talk about prudent preparation. If you haven't got it yet, you need to go to the VFNTV store and get it. Prudent preparation. Because a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it. But a fool keeps going and suffers for it. Imagine if the Lord told you, if you would listen to VFN radio and you're in the Philippines, and we have people, potential audience in the Philippines right now, that if the ones that prepared, they're helping folk right now. Mm-hmm. They're going out and they're taking care of folks. Mm-hmm. Because you prepared. You knew these days were going to happen, and now you can help them in the name of Jesus. And so, but this is what he says, and it's just very powerful because he saw all these headlines that are now coming to pass, but is to begin to live a righteous life. Live the life that Jesus expects us to live. Mm. Walk in humility. Walk, be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's it. Mm-hmm. Don't underestimate that. You stand out. You stand out like a big, and you are. You're a bright light in the midst of darkness because you're carrying the light of the world. And so understand a great awakening. If you stay awake and if you don't go to sleep, if you don't buy in and just throw yourself into darkness, if you allow yourself to be destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you didn't take the time to listen to VFN radio, watch VFN TV, get connected to somebody who's actually teaching the truth, it's not trying to hold on to sacred cows in this, understand that you're the hope, you're the light of the world, and always there's been a great, great, terrible time of darkness, at the same time a great harvest of souls that are taking place. This is the time for a great awakening, is it's always the best of times and the worst of times. You're never going to have the best of times alone, and you're never going to have the worst of times alone unless you give in to the worst of times.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in the worst of times, it's in the hard times that men look up. It's in the hard times that we decide and go, you know what? You know, what am I living my life for? Why am I doing what I'm doing? They ask very important questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, remember, God designed everything in his life and her life and your life to see if you would ask that question. He's waiting for you, though he's not far from you, to begin to ponder, what is this all about? So that's a one. Anything that gets a man to that point, it's beautiful.
It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sad, you know, that it takes those moments, but you know, we're not God, and he's okay with those moments.
That's right.
He'll take us back again and again to those
and
moments.
Again and again.
Yeah. And so, which means is when a man asks that question, if you walk faithfully in the light, you're going to have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the answer when the man who's tried every drug in the world, only to find out the drugs just made him want more drugs and took him to this endless place of misery, depression, paranoia, and dependency, and went from prescription drugs to street drugs to now the people who used to criticize on the news that he is one now.
Mm.
His friends don't want anything to do with him now because he's robbed and stealed. Everybody took him or her at his word, at their word, but it was only just to take advantage of one more person to get one more fix. Okay, not drugs. Maybe it was business. Okay, maybe it's not business. Maybe it was a relationship. Whatever it is, and they trusted you one more time, and all you were doing was trying to feed your addiction. You're just trying to get what you wanted in life, and you used everybody up, and nobody's there to feed you anymore. And what do? Well, the prodigal looked up. And don't think this is truly a nation that has tried everything. We've been given over to ourselves, to our sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
And in that you find out it's just destructive. It's not anything good in it. It's a lie. It doesn't bring joy, peace, happiness. I mean, you have to medicate just to forget about what you're actually in. You know, even Proverbs says, you know, let a poor man, you know, medicate basically,
right,
so that he can forget about his misery. And understanding that this is going to be a great harvest of souls. This is going to be a great harvest because God loves them, him, this person, that person. He loves mankind. And when they see the oppression of men's religion and they see the oppression of government and that government can't be God, and they see the great tragedy of normally there's loss of great life during a time like that, and you start seeing people go, well, they could have lived another 20 years, but they said they just weren't going to treat them medically because and you start realizing life's not forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start seeing, you know, children, you know, their life taken out because they say, well, you know, they just didn't have a quality of life. They wouldn't have had a quality of life. I know they were 8 and they were 5, but we just weren't going to sustain them.
Mm.
We can just get rid of the whole prenatal emergency part of the hospital now. Well, you know, we're spending so much money on trying to keep these children alive.
Mm.
And I read Dr. Dobson's book called Fathers, and he talks about this. I read it in January. And I'm thinking, man, this is so far-fetched. And it's amazing. Prophecy always seems so far-fetched. But this is a man who spent his life on focusing on the family.
Mm.
And the whole book is a story from several dimensions about how like three stories collide and they all were integrated to the point where this man wanted to start he needed money. He didn't have money. He needed to do what he wanted to do. And so instead of looking and honoring his mother to be his mother, he saw her as holding back his life. You're holding back. If you would just go ahead and die, then I could have money, and you always wanted me to be a professor, didn't you? And I need to go get my college degree.
Wow.
I need to get my college degree. And of course, she's struggling with the fact that this is my son. I love my son. But now, do I look like a money tree to him now?
Mm.
Is that you only see, you're upset that I'm living a day longer?
Using up potential resources that could be his.
Well, yeah, exactly. Using up his resources.
Mm. Wow.
And you know, you've already lived your life already. You know, you've already lived it already. And I have my life to live. And so he takes her to a place, that used to, we used to call assisted living facilities or nursing homes, but they're not anymore.
Really?
They're, all they are is places of decision. Mm. Places, I believe the word was transition, where you go into a room and you sit there and you decide, are you ready to transition?
Mm.
Which means to give your son what he wants and to give society a break, because you're really costly. The bottom line is, and let me tell you something, Christian businessman, that you've done so many evil things based on the bottom line, and now you're about to see a country who doesn't know God, leaders, making decisions on life because of bottom line.
Mm.
I mean, how many abortions came because of bottom line? How many business, bad, evil, dark decisions were made because of the bottom line? It's just business.
Mm.
And now we're going to start seeing Lucifer in darkness with bottom line. And they're going to look at, they're going to look at mothers and fathers and go, you know, the bottom line is, you know, you've already had this whole life. I mean, you're way up into your, you know, and it's like, I think it was, she was young.
Mm.
And we just need to end it now. And then it's going to be better for everybody. And so he carries her son. He carries his mother, who is kind of, you know, all there, but having those moments. And she sits down and she's thinking, okay, my son, it's in her voice. Oh, he's wanting to, you know, check me into this assisted living facility, which she's like, oh, I didn't ever want that anyway. You know, you got kind of feeling like, ugh, because last time you may ever see me again if you check me in there. And, but she's battling between, he's using love against her, taking advantage of her love. And that's what they'll do, is take advantage of the love of the parent. And so the guy starts explaining to her, the person that runs the facility there, what is going on. And she's kind of confused because, I mean, that's a new thing to us. You're talking about killing me?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't use those words, it's called transitioning.
Mm.
And so then she starts to say, well, I don't know. And then that's when her son kicks in like, come on, you said you wanted me to be a professor. You said this and you said this. Like, but the conversation is, they changed the vocabulary, which this is the enemy always does. He takes away the meanings of words and changes them. This is what they should have said. We're going to kill you so he can have your money, ma'am. And that would be honest.
That'd be honest. Right.
That'd be honest.
Clear.
He's not satisfied with the amount of money he has and what he can do with what he has. So he wants what you have. You know, and the envy and the jealousy and the stuff that's been stirred up in his life. So we're going to kill you, but we can't kill you without you giving us permission to kill you.
Mm.
Instead of calling that, I said, this is called transitioning, ma'am. You know, you're transitioning from a fine life that you've had.
Mm.
At the same time, they had a young man who was struggling with his mental capabilities, and he was having a quality of life, but he felt like he was a burden to his parents, and he was a burden to folks, and he wasn't. So secretly, by the time he became 18 years old, he signed up to transition himself as a gift to his family, which is basically kill himself.
Mm.
It's suicide. I'm just trying to help you out. Like, suicide, this is what the enemies, this is what suicide notes say. You know, I was just a burden to you anyway, and all this kind of stuff. That's the devil, man, trying to take you out. That's the easy way out. Live for God.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he is when he turned 18. The first thing he did was he bought into the narrative over the nation that said, you know, you can, if you really care, if you want to do something brave, transition yourself. You know, I'm grabbing for the word transition, but that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so his mother found out that he's already signed these paperwork and he's in there about to get the, what we used to call a death sentence, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get injected with chemicals and you die for murdering folks, that he volunteered for this to happen. And so she goes in the room and she says, stop it. You can't do this. This is it. But he was 18. They say, ma'am, you can't stop it. He's 18 years old. He's already signed his transition.
Wow.
They're taking, this is Lucifer. He just wants to kill you, to steal, kill, and destroy.
Wow.
And the long story short, when she's struggling to pull the wires out of her son, she falls and hits her head, ends up being sued. And the whole thing, you got to read this book, because all three scenarios merge together with Congress and the legislation.
Mm.
And a news article being written about this whole thing. And they find out that they're all the same story. It's all the same. We're it's like the guy getting the deal is taking advantage of someone. It's like all of us.
Right.
And this congressman was worried about that if I say yes to this particular law, then all of a sudden all this in this particular law, and this is what they're saying right now. There's a book out right now on CBS. I can't tell you what the name of the book is, about exposing the congressman and legislature for getting these sweet deals. They said if you study them, and this is what she studied in her article, she studied the fact that this people who were really pushing that law didn't tell you this, but they were making the drugs that transition people. What's the name of the book?
It's called Extortion, Your Congressman Shaking You Down.
Yeah, Extortion, Your Congressman Shaking You Down. And so what this congressman didn't realize and what the journalist was going to reveal was the reason why he's wanting you to pass this legislation is because they're fixing to kill all these people in the world. They're going to kill them all.
Mm. Oh, wow.
They're going to kill them all. They're going to transition them.
Wow.
And you think about it. That's always what happens. What Lucifer always does. It's just another way of doing it. Understand, when people begin to see the consequences